Live from the capital of Raider Nation, Las Vegas, Nevada. It's Silver and Black Today, your daily dose of all things Las Vegas Raiders football. News, views, guests, and your phone calls are all part of the game plan. There's only one nation, and it listens here. Now your host, Scott Culbranson.
Welcome back on this Friday, Silver and Black Today. Powered by our friends Sam and Ash Injury Attorneys, 702-820-1234 is the number. Make sure you call them because you deserve what's right. Scott Culbranson along with my co-host Q Myers. We're back here. Busy show today. We were going to have Nevin Lawson. He was scheduled to come on, but something came up, so he's going to move to Monday. Talking a little bit about his charity work, but then we'll also be able to get a post-game from him, Q. So that works out actually pretty good.
Yeah, it does, and he does a lot of really good charity work. That's something I know about Nevin, to be exact, and that's really, really cool. So I do look forward to talking to him.
Yeah, it'll be good. Otherwise, today we will update you here just in a moment on the Raiders injury report. Some surprises there, some not-so-surprise going on as well, so we'll get to that. Coming up at about 2:25, 2:30, Mo Moten, senior NFL columnist, silverandblacktoday.com, also a contributor at Bleacher Report. He'll give us his midseason assessment of the Raiders, who also tell you why, Q, you don't have to worry too much about Henry Ruggs.
Okay.
So he'll do that.
I trust him.
And we'll get some surprises and disappointments from him as well. Nick Cothrell from Silver and Black Today will also be here. He'll talk a little bit about the Raiders as well as they head into the Denver game. And then we'll talk to Chris Matthews, our good friend from 8 News Now, also the host of the Raiders pregame live show on Channel 8 here in Las Vegas, with his midseason assessment. And also he'll give us the must-dos for the Raiders heading into this Broncos game, as well as the Q-tip. Michael Troiano, our attorney, usually we do police blotter, but with COVID, Q, not too many players getting in trouble, which is a good thing.
No, that's a really good thing.
Yeah, so we'll talk to him about some other things, some things that are happening on the streets across the country and how it might relate to you. So we'll talk to him. We'll also talk some football. So that's a rundown of the show today. And Q, before we went on there, we got the final injury report heading into Saturday. And not a surprise that players out for Sunday include Maurice Hurst. And also, Colton Miller is listed as doubtful. He has not participated in practice all week. So even though that says doubtful, I would not count on him. Also, questionable, did not practice today and was not listed the last 2 days. But the injury is written down as an illness, and his status is questionable, is Gabe Jackson.
That's a big deal.
That's a really big deal.
He's been playing some really good ball. He's been healthy all year long, something that he hasn't been in a couple years. And, man, he's been a really good, solid contributor, obviously, on that offensive line. So if he's out, that's another guy down. John Simpson probably had to slide into that role. And then you're saying, well, Cable, can you do it again?
Yeah, exactly. That's right. Sam Young.
And you're already saying that this weekend if Miller's not playing, which it looks like he's not.
Right. So, yeah, Miller could be out. Jackson could be out. Sam Young was limited in practice all week with that knee/ankle injury that he has, but they expect him to play. Whew. Alec Ingold, a full participant in practice with two broken ribs. Dude.
Stud. Put him on the offensive line.
Dude is made of metal. Yeah, no kidding. Put him in.
He's a throwback fullback, though. I mean, that's just what those fullbacks do. They're crazy. He's basically channeling his inner John Ritchie.
Yes. You got it. That's right. So they're there, and that's where we are. I mean, the Raiders, again, you have the situation where this offensive line might be thrown another curveball. Gabe Jackson. I mean, you could not script a horror movie like this. Now, the fact that the Raiders are 5-3, and I know we've been talking a lot about this offensive line this week, Q, but they deserve it, because to be at 5-3 with what they face now, you might go in to this Denver game down another guy in Gabe Jackson. That makes it tough. I mean, I have ultimate faith in these guys because they've earned it. But at some point, when does the luck run out? And I mean, it's hard work. It's not luck. I shouldn't say that.
Right.
But
exactly.
When does it get so difficult when you're just down too many bodies? And
I mean, it will at some point, probably, you would think. I mean, that's just kind of the luck of the draw is. But at the same time, man, I kind of feel like these guys are prepared and ready for it. Now, John Simpson, if he has to slide into that role, he's a rookie, and we know that he struggled at times. But at the same time, he played some good ball at Clemson. So, you know, maybe he'll be ready to step up and really hold it down. Either way, man, you just got to do the best you can.
And we also know that Corey Littleton, who's out on the COVID list, we found that out yesterday, in his place starting on Sunday will be Nicholas Morrow, right?
So no doubt.
We'll see him in there. He deserves to be in there. But how much are we going to see? We talked a little bit about Raekwon McMillan yesterday. Might we see more? If we don't see any more of him, I mean, it's been a while since he's been on this team. Why he's not getting snaps, he's just not earning them, I guess.
That's on him.
Yes.
And that shows, you know, why he was expendable in Miami to begin with. That's not what Brian Flores is going to do. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If you can contribute to the team and be a big-time player and buy into what Flores is teaching, he's going to have you around. If not, he's going to move on from you just like they did.
Yeah, no doubt. We'll ask the question to all of you out there on the Raider Nation Hotline. You can call in and be a part of the show. 702-365-9200 is that number. Are you worried now? Gabe Jackson might be out for this game. We don't know for sure. He's listed as questionable. We're going to go out to 211 Steele, who's on the phone. He wants to talk about it. What's going on, man?
That's a drink.
Hey, what's up, fellas? Hey, man, I love what you guys do. Check this out, man. I'm you know what? I'm worried, but I'm not tripping. I don't know if that makes any sense to you guys, because the more adversity that O-line faces, I think it's just going to make us, that O-line, even stronger and more mature down the line. I know you guys are saying, you know, the luck. When's the luck going to run out? What if it's this week or whatever? But I tell you what, I look at the other side of the coin. Wait till that O-line is 100%. Oh, my. They've only played, what, 3 snaps together this whole season?
Yes.
When that O-line will be full force, man, you better watch out. I'll tell you that right now. And then on Ruggs, man, I'll tell you what. I'm not saying he's Jerry Rice, but Jerry Rice, first year, he didn't have it all together. So Ruggs will come around, man. He's just too talented not to come around. And let's roll with it, man.
All right, there you go. 211 Steel, man. Thanks. I appreciate it. No.
That's a drink, too, by the way. Isn't that a beer?
Is it really?
211.
211?
Yeah, maybe. And then Steel Reserve.
I don't know, man.
Come on, man.
Oh, there it is. I'm bringing it up now.
211, and then a Steel Reserve.
Oh, there it is, yeah. It is a Molson Coors beverage. It's a malt liquor.
Well, yeah, but there's Steel Reserve.
I gotcha.
Man, that's why he put those two together.
I gotcha.
He knew what he was doing.
He knew what he was doing.
Exactly. With Henry Ruggs, real quick, I like what he said to the media today, that he's not worried about his stats. He's worried about wins. I could appreciate that.
Yeah, and we hear that from Hunter every Monday as well.
Right, but I mean, but Hunter, he's a pro's pro. I get it. You know, this is his second year, so he kind of understands things. But you don't know what the mindset of a rookie is, a guy who was drafted as high as Henry Ruggs was, and a guy that he hears and sees it on social media. Where's Henry Ruggs? How come he's not getting the ball? And he just let it be known, hey, I'm not worried about it. Worried about wins.
No, and it's consistent. That's what you want to see from an organization, right? Is consistency among the message. Because when they get out, you know, these guys are coached for the media. There's no question. We know how that works. But when they get out there.
With Bama.
Yeah, and you went to Bama too. That's right. But when you get out there in front of the media, guys sometimes just say stuff, right? But these guys are all. It's in them. It's what they're doing. It's what they live every day, because you can hear it. It's consistent across the board. And as much as you'd love to give the PR team over there credit for that, it's not. It's just these guys are hearing it from their coaches and they're living it. All right, we're going out to Rossi, our man in Australia. What's going on, Rossi?
All good, guys. Yourself?
Good, brother.
What up?
That's good to hear. Gabe Jackson, I'll just say next man up. There's nothing. I agree that at some point.
What else can you do?
The bend don't break mentality of this offensive line is fantastic, and Cable and the guys that just get in there. Look, I hope he plays, but I think that whatever happens to the caller just before. But whenever everybody's healthy, and even without Trent Brown, even once Richie's back and Gabe's fit and Miller's fit and Hudson leading the way, to me that's still the best offensive line in the league by far. In regard to McMillan, all I'll say is that McMillan's produced just as much as what Bowden has. So the trade's irrelevant. I know a lot of people were, this is a run-stopping linebacker that we need, and Littleton's going to be the coverage linebacker that we need. Just hasn't worked out that way. So just move on. But it does also highlight that maybe this draft is, we have to give it 2 to 3 years to see people like Ruggs come into their own. I'm not fussed by Ruggs. I think the more creative ways we can get the ball into his hands, absolutely. But he's also got to do those fundamentals right. I really liked his press conference today talking about he didn't care about his personal stats. The team's got a winning mentality. He's got to do better. He's got to understand he's not in college in regard to 2 feet and certain routes that he's actually running. So, guys, I'll go with the prediction. I know last week's prediction was Littleton with a pick. I'm saying Ruggs catches 7 balls over a ton and 1 touchdown.
Okay, Rossi, 7 catches over 100, you said?
Yep, over 100.
And a TD. All right, I'm writing it down so that we can visit with you. When you call next week, we'll see how you did on those numbers, man.
Sounds good, guys.
All right.
Have a great show, guys.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for calling in. That's Rossi from Australia. He calls in a couple times a week. That's how dedicated Raider Nation is. All over the world, and they're calling in. We got people in Vegas who don't call in, but we got people in Australia.
Is it Saturday in Australia?
Yes. It is, yes.
Nice.
Yes. So he's already
enjoying his weekend with us.
Yes. He's already in weekend mode, ready to go, which you got to like. But the Ruggs thing again, and I know we're going to talk to Mo coming up after the break here, but I'll tell you, people should not be that concerned. You can't compare the receiver. You can't, Jerry Jeudy's rolling in here with the Broncos. Jerry Jeudy's a different receiver. He's got a different team, a different set of expectations. The Broncos do not have, to me, the same amount or breadth of threats that the Raiders have, so they don't have to spread the ball around as much. I'm not taking anything away from Jerry Jeudy because I think he's a great, great wide receiver. He's going to be very good in this league. But you can't compare one guy to the other.
I mean, you can, and this is why. He was drafted number 12 overall, so he's going to get drafted. He's going to get compared to CeeDee Lamb. He's going to get compared to Jerry Jeudy. He's going to get compared to the guys in Minnesota, Jefferson, who's doing really big things there. I mean, he's going to be. He was the first wide receiver taken off the board. So where you're right, every team, they have their guys for their reason, and they use them for their reason. He's going to always naturally be in conversations against all those guys because he was the first wide receiver taken off the board.
Yeah, that's the thing. I hear what you're saying, and there's no question that happens because you're right. Draft classes get compared to one another. We hear it with Cleveland Furrow all the time, right? But the situations they find themselves in are different. So when you're a top 15 draft pick and your role on a team doesn't have to be the guy that gets the ball 15 times a game, then if you compare them to other players, you look at CeeDee Lamb in Dallas, right? He's the guy, because Amari Cooper does what Amari Cooper does and just kind of disappears, and the situation they've had down, he's just been the guy they go to. He's just the guy who steps up. He's hungry. He's a young buck, ready to go. I just think that Raider fans, as much as we all want to see, Henry Ruggs go nuts and have a lot more involvement in the offense, it's just going to take some time, and they don't seem to be in any hurry to do it.
Right, exactly. And again, that natural conversation is going to come up because of everything you just said. I mean, look at Dallas. They have a lot of weapons on their team, from the running back position to the wide receiver position. And still, CeeDee Lamb is doing some big things. So it's going to be natural. I'm not saying it's right. It's just going to be natural for people to say, well, how come the production is not there for Henry? I mean, that's just natural. You can't help that.
Yeah, that is true. Look, everybody wants to get him more involved. He will get more involved. There's that connection. We've talked about it all year long, Q, which is that connection with the quarterback. The perfect example is what you see with Nelson Aguilar and Derek Carr. They're just on the same page, right?
Right.
You saw it last year with Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow, and you see it, Hunter Renfrow, even though Hunter's not getting the ball a ton, when they do connect, man, they're just like in sync. And that sync just hasn't happened yet, I don't think, with Ruggs. I don't see it. And then Ruggs has to win more off the line. We know that from watching film. And so it's going to take some time. And I do believe by the time we get to the end of the season, you'll see that and you'll get him more involved because of it. But he's got to win those one-on-ones on the line, but he is changing the way the offense works because he's taking double coverage into the backfield with him, which opens up other guys as well. So he's getting the job done in a different way. It's just not ways that put up stats on the board per his press conference today.
Right. It doesn't show up in the stat sheet, but he is doing some things. When he's not out there, you could tell he's not out there.
Yeah, no doubt about it. All right, we are up against our first break. When we come back, we'll take some more of your phone calls first at 702-365-9200, and then we'll get to our guest Mo Moten. Of course, he is of Bleacher Report and our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com. He will talk about Henry Ruggs, and he'll also give us his assessment of the Raiders at the halfway point. You're with Q Meyer, Scott Gilbranson, Silver and Black Today on Raider Nation Radio.
From Stabler to Plunkett and Allen to Jacobs, we've got your Raiders covered on Silver and Black Today. Here are your hosts, Scott Gulbranson and Q Myers.
All right, jamming in on a Friday. Your boy Q Myers, Scott Gilbranson, Bobby Machado making it all work for us so it goes out over the airwaves and the internet. We are worldwide. If you're listening to us on the Raiders app, let us know. A lot of you listening to it there. Also, lvsportsnetwork.com. You can listen to us as well as if you're in Las Vegas, 920 a.m. Raider Nation Radio as well. We're going to go back on the phone lines because we got a caller who's been waiting. We want to make sure we get him on. Stan. No.
Friday. That was the best segue ever. Yeah. He's been patiently waiting.
Yes.
Dial tone.
The Friday the 13th call. You got to like that. But we're back. By the way, we have our sided debate that we do every week here at Silver and Black Today. You can download the sided app for free for your Android or your iPhone. And this week, the question was, after the past two games, are you more confident in the Raiders defensive front, and pass rush? It evened up a lot more, Q. Remember earlier in the week, it was like 70% said yes.
Right.
Now, as we ended the vote at around noon today, Pacific time, it's just about 55% saying yes, about 45% saying no, it's not up to snuff. Some of the responses on the yes side, we have Glenn Heinrich, who says, a bond is forming among them. The trust factor is already there. Yes, Abram is the X factor, but I'm enjoying the play of the D-line. They are really stepping up their game on the front. Okay. There's one.
I can see that.
Yeah. Then the no, it's still not there. We have one that says, it's our buddy Fabian says, I agree with Q, it's not there yet.
Right.
Then we have Edwin Johnson says, it's showing some improvement, but they've set the bar so low that they have to show much more progress before I give them a passing grade. That's from Edwin. So that's it. But you could take part in our sided debate next week, but we'll put that up there. So there you go. Kind of even.
And that's fair.
Yeah, I think it is fair.
You know what I mean? Like, You don't want to just say after a couple games, oh, yeah, cool, everything's good. I just want to see a little bit more before you say that.
Correct. You know, it's good that they have a kind of a two-game streak of doing better. I'm not going to say that they're doing good yet. They're doing better. And they still gave up a crap ton of yards in the air to Justin Herbert.
Yep.
You know, and
third and long.
Correct. And I would expect this week against the Broncos, Drew Lock can throw the ball around, but I would imagine they have an edge there. They need to take advantage of it and start putting up, maybe getting an interception, maybe.
Yeah, he'll give you three opportunities. Count it this week. He'll give you three opportunities to make a play. You just got to go out there and make the play. But you watch this weekend, there'll be at least three opportunities to take the ball the other way.
So this is the situation where you're saying, like, he's going to throw a ball that's going to hit somebody in the chest, so the Raiders got to catch it, or it's going to be
one of those that you say, ooh, he shouldn't have thrown that. Now,
right.
If the Raiders make him pay for it, that's on them.
Yes. Yep, that's right. And they got to do that. The takeaways have to go up. They had one last week on special teams, not the defense.
Right.
It was on special teams. Defense still needs to up their game there, and I think this is the type of game that you do it. Okay, we're going out on our newsmaker line and bringing in our good friend, the king of avocados himself.
Oh, boy.
The Baron of Brooklyn. The Baron of Brooklyn, is that what we'll call
him? I like
you?
That better.
Yeah.
I like that way better.
The Baron of Brooklyn.
Yeah.
The man we call Mo, of course, Mr. Maurice Moten, who joins us now. Mo, how you doing on this Friday?
I'm going to do my best Q impersonation right here. I'm just going to say chilling, man. Just chilling.
You got to like
I'm
that.
I'm California cool today like you.
There you go.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
I am pretty cool.
But then you got to switch from avocado to cucumber, right?
I like the Brooklyn Baron, though. I don't do cucumbers. You can just stick with that.
The Brooklyn Baron. Okay, good. Well, I like that. I like that one, too.
Yeah, I like that one, too.
Okay, Mo, so let's start with this. We're going to get to your piece on Henry Ruggs in a second, but I want to get your take off the top. Here we are. Raiders have played 8 games. They're 5-3. Tell me what you think. What's your assessment of this team as they head into the back 9, to use a golf tournament, or the back 8 in this case with games, and they host Denver this weekend. Is this team where you thought they would be? Are they ahead of where you thought they'd be, or are they behind?
Well, if you remember, we did the predictions before the season started. All three of us had a round table. And I think I was behind on their prediction. I believe I had them either 3-5 or 4-4 at this point. Not sure. You can play back the tape. But they're exceeding my expectations. As you know, I had them at an 8-8 season record. So right now I would say 10-6 is very possible if they can hold up and, for the most part, stay healthy. I think this team has a chance to make the playoffs. I know the prediction probabilities are going up for them. So beyond the wins, I know everyone expects wins. Beyond the wins, I would like to see their defense improve, because that's going to make the difference between them being a one-and-done team in the playoffs or possibly making a surprise and making some noise in the postseason.
Outside of Derek Carr, Mo, is there a guy right now on the Raiders roster that's playing better than you expected him to play?
Playing better? Nick Kwiatkowski comes off the top of my head really quickly, because a lot of people thought of him as a second linebacker, signing Frazier Theory, everyone thought Corey Littleton was leave that group and be the star player in that unit. But to me, Nick Kwiatkowski deserves a lot of credit. I know he's missed some games with a pec injury, but when he's on the field, that's a different defense. Some people would say Trayvon Mullen, but I expected him to play well. We talked about this, Q, that I didn't have any issues or cautions about Trayvon Mullen being a CB1 and just showing out. And I think he's met my expectations. But as far as Kwiatkowski, I think he's better than expected.
We are with Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at silverandblacktoday.com, also a major contributor over at Bleacher Report. And Mo, you talked about who has surprised you a little bit, Nick Kwiatkowski. Is there anybody else that you've been impressed with? I mean, I look at the offensive line and just say, wow, those guys have stepped up big. But is there any other individual offense or defense that comes top of mind?
Well, I'll go with the obvious and say Nelson Aguilar, of course, because, I mean, he's the guy that's stretching the defense. I know a lot of people expected Henry Ruggs to be that guy, but it seems that Nelson Aguilar, I expected him to, you know, give you 2 or 3 catches a game, and that's kind of where he's been. But the surprise is that he's been the guy, again, to stretch the field. At one point, I believe he was leading the league in yards per reception. So, again, I expected Nelson Aguilar to contribute, but to contribute in the way he's doing it as a big play threat is kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah, that's
now,
it.
On the flip side of things, guys that aren't living up to expectations outside of Corey Littleton. I would have let you say him, but since he's on the COVID-19 list, we'll give him a break today.
Okay, we'll give him a break. I don't want to say Cleveland Farrell, because he is improving as a run stopper. He still needs to give you more in the pass rush. But Malik Collins, after all the talk in the offseason about what he could be and comparing him to Geno Atkins, He's barely noticeable on the field most games. I know he has flashes here and there now. I believe he had a QB hurry recently, but just not nearly enough as the coaches talked him up to me this offseason.
And Mo, what about, I'm going to ask you this question too, because it's a player we all like, okay? But his development, Jonathan Abram, when you look at his play and what he's able to do, everybody loves his aggressiveness. Everybody loves what he can be. But when you look at him now, really just about 7 games into his career, what needs to get better there? And is there any concern with how he plays?
I wouldn't say that there's a concern. I think with Jonathan Abram, you're going to have to take the good with the bad. He's going to blast guys here and there. We see that sometimes there's friendly fire where he'll get another teammate hurt. I know a lot of fans don't like that. I think Jonathan Abram is kind of polarizing within the fan base. Some people really like him because of his energy. Some people are a little skeptical of him because they say he's a little too much over the top and he's not great in coverage, which wasn't his strength coming out of college. I already knew that. He did have a key pass breakup against the Chargers. A lot of people blame them for that busted coverage on Keenan Allen, but I would put that more on Eric Harris. If you watch the film, I think Eric Harris is out of position, not so much Jonathan Abram, but he needs to get better in coverage. But when he's in the box, he's pretty good. He's only played, as you said, 7-8 games into his career. I think for 7-8 games and missing his most of his first his rookie year, I think he's going to be a quality football player, and I like what he brings to that defense because he brings the energy and he plays fast, and the Raiders defense needed that speed, needed that aggression that he brings.
Mo, you mentioned Clelin Ferrell a little while ago, and I particularly like what I'm seeing from him, especially when he's playing on the inside. Do you think that that could end up being his spot moving forward?
I think it could, and I had a thought this weekend about him, comparing him to a Solomon Thomas. And I say that because Solomon Thomas came out as a high draft pick. I believe he was 3 to the 49ers, and a lot of people expected him to rack up the sacks. 49ers discovered that they needed to move him inside to get the best out of him. And that's where I would compare him to Clelin Ferrell and say maybe Clelin Ferrell's best spot, maybe kind of moving inside on some packages. And again, he's a pretty solid run defender. So if you can get that out of him, I know that's not what you really want out of a fourth overall pick. You're expecting the sacks. You're expecting the quarterback hurries. But at this point, you have to play into his strengths, and possibly that's where he needs to be right now.
Again, we're talking with Mo Moten, our senior NFL columnist at Silver and Black Today, also a contributor at Bleacher Report and other spots as well. Mo, let's shift gears to the article you wrote for us that concerns Henry Ruggs and the fact that some people are looking at Henry Ruggs and they're concerned because here he is. He's supposed to be the savior, the speed kills part two and all that kind of stuff. And he just hasn't been that involved. When he is involved from a catch perspective, you notice it because of that talent. And when he's not, he's definitely stretching the defense. But there's a guy that John Gruden said, we need to go get our own Tyreek Hill. And so people are expecting the same kind of production. Why is that fair? Why isn't it fair, and where do you see Henry Ruggs right now at this point?
I'll start where it's not fair, and I think a lot of people, and you guys talked about it a little bit, you compare him to CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy, and I get what he was saying. He's going to get compared to those guys because top three wide receivers in the draft class, a lot of people were saying, well, one of those guys is going to be the wide receiver one in that class, and he's always going to be tied to those guys. But I will say, if you put Ruggs in Dallas's offense, if you put Ruggs in the Broncos offense, I guarantee you his numbers would be a lot different. His numbers would be a lot higher. I know the Dallas Cowboys, Lamb is not the feature wide receiver that's Amari Cooper, but you got to understand with the Cowboys offense, they have the most pass attempts in the league. They're playing from behind a lot. Their defense is worse than the Raiders. So they're a pass-heavy team. The Raiders are 26th in pass attempts. So, again, the opportunities are just there more so for the Cowboys wide receivers than the Raiders. You mentioned the Denver Broncos offense. Their wide receiver one went down. Cortland Sutton went down. Noah Fant has been injured, has a nagging ankle injury, so he hasn't been himself. Mm-hmm. So Jerry Jones is expected to have a wide receiver one workload. That's not the case for Ruggs. Darren Waller is the top pass catcher in that offense. The Raiders just had the fewest offensive drives played, I believe 78. So, again, not a lot of opportunities for that offense. They're a run-dominant offense. They're 7th in rush attempts. So with a run-dominant offense, a dominant pass-catching tight end, and not a lot of offensive drive, Ruggs is not going to have a lot of opportunities. Now, I will say he should be getting more than three targets a game.
Right.
He should be at about 6 to 8, of course. But, again, with the way the Raiders' offense is set up, he is not going to be a high-volume wide receiver. That's just not the case this season. Now, will that change as time goes on? We'll see. But he's more of what he was at Alabama. He wasn't the main attraction at Alabama. He never had more than 46 catches. Jerry Jeudy, Calvin Ridley, Devontae Smith, they did the heavy lifting at Alabama. It wasn't more so Ruggs. He was more of the explosive component. And that's what he is with the Raiders right now.
Yeah, and real quick, the thing on Jeudy, too, watching the film, the game of him last week in preparation for this week, too, Jerry Jeudy got a ton of catches and yards after the Broncos were down by 20-plus points. So there's a lot of, you can look at stats sometimes, it doesn't tell the full story. But Mo, the other point you make there, too, is that he doesn't need to be the quote-unquote prototypical number one receiver. I think as the NFL and offenses continue to evolve, and Q and I talk about this all the time on defense, too, is the old adage of a number one, number two wide receiver, terminology and those quote-unquote positions are sort of going away in some ways, aren't they?
Absolutely, because I just touched on it too. There are more pass catching tight ends, there are more athletic tight ends coming into the league. There are more running backs catching out of the backfield. So with those targets going to more tight ends and running backs, that's going to take away from your wide receivers. So naturally speaking, the ball is going to be even spread a little bit more. And a lot of people will commend Carr to say, well, a good Derek Carr game is when he spreads the ball to 8-9 different receivers. Well, if you commend that, you can't condemn him if at times your top wide receiver isn't as involved as you think, because, again, Derek Carr is going to spread the ball around. Darren Waller is going to get his touches. Josh Jacobs is more involved in the passing offense. A lot of people say, well, you want to see Josh Jacobs do more. Well, he is. The problem is you're going to take away from someone on that offense.
Now, Mo, with all that being said, and I don't disagree with you at all. Like, I totally get where you're going with that, and you make a lot of sense. You mentioned what he does at Alabama, and that's what I'm not seeing. That's what I'm trying to wait and see and want to see when that gets incorporated. I want to see the slants. I want to see a few of the crossing patterns. I want to see the just get the ball in his hands and let him do something, make him work his magic with his speed. That's what I'm waiting to see.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Q. I'm definitely with you, and I mentioned that in my article. I think Derek Carr mentioned on Wednesday that he needs to work on his timing, where to place the ball, and Russ needs to learn where the ball is going to go and when he's targeted. And that goes with timing and working together, and eventually they'll get that down pack. But what I mentioned in my article, and you talked about it, I think the Raiders need to get the ball in his hands on more shorter throws, which is what you saw at Alabama, some slant, where he can use his speed after the catch. Because I think you don't always have to just go to him on the deep ball to stretch a defense. He can do more than that. It's just not you don't have to use him for that one thing. He's versatile in that way where he runs the full route tree. You can get the ball to more short passes or let him do his thing after the catch.
Mo Moten is our guest here. And Mo, one of the things you talk about too is that fine-tuning of the connection between Carr and Henry Ruggs. You give a couple examples in here, including some video, which shows where, you know, you could have had maybe even possible touchdown, but the quarterback and the receiver just weren't on the same page. How do you get better? How do they tackle that and really start to get those guys on the same page so that when Henry Ruggs is there, Derek Carr sees him and has the confidence to go to him?
Well, again, I think it's just timing and experience with each other. Eventually, that'll come. You hope that'll come as time goes on. Carr hasn't had a weapon like Henry Ruggs. I know people want to talk about Rico Gafford, but Rico Gafford is not on the same level as Ruggs. He wasn't on the field a lot.
Stop.
So Carr has to get used to throwing to a speedy target who's throwing downfield, and I think, again, that will come. You mentioned those touchdowns that could have been. I know they were debatable, especially with the Browns. I felt that was a touchdown, but possibly Ruggs can work on his sideline catches. Give himself a little toe drag swag, as Nate Burleson would say on NFL Network. Mm-hmm. He needs to work on those catches close to the sideline so he keeps his feet in bounds. And eventually, like I said, Carr learns how to place the ball where Ruggs can get it. Those two will connect more, and they'll get more touchdowns, more first downs on plays.
How much do you think he needs to work, probably in the offseason coming up, but how much do you just think he needs to get stronger so he can fight off the defensive backs on the line of scrimmage?
Yeah, Gruden mentioned that he needs to win his one-on-one battles off the line of scrimmage. I think sometimes he does win and Carr doesn't see him, because my one criticism of Carr that still goes on to this day is that sometimes Carr doesn't turn the ball loose as quick as he should. Sometimes he holds it a little longer, and that allows the defenders to close windows. But again, I think Ruggs will eventually, I won't say bulk up in the offseason, but he'll add some strength. He'll learn how to beat press coverage, and he'll get off the line of scrimmage, and hopefully Carr will see him. As soon as he sees him, let the ball go. And so, again, it's also on Carr to put the ball in the right spot at the right time. But, again, it's also on Ruggs to win his one-on-one matchups so he can get those open passes.
Mo, how big of a game is this for the Raiders, do you think? And is there a possibility of them looking past it? They've won two in a row. They're coming home for a game against the Broncos. I know it's a in division rival, but then you got the Chiefs next Sunday night, a massive game for this team and this franchise and this city. How do you look at this Denver game, and what are they going to have to do to make sure that they don't lose focus?
Yeah, I hate to be a boring guy, but it's one game at a time. I know the Chiefs are coming up, and I believe they're coming off of a bye, which is crazy that the Raiders always get the Chiefs after a bye, but you have to look at Denver and say this is a division game, and right now you're coming off a win off the Chargers, so you're 2-0 in the division. Chances are, if you have a good record in the division, if you're like 4-2 or 5-1, 6-0 even in the division, chances are you're going to go to the playoffs. So you have to look at this as if we can do this, if we can send a message and beat a Denver Broncos team that we're clearly better than right now, not to overlook them, but right now the Bears are a better football team than the Denver Broncos. A game that you should, or let's just say people are expecting to win, do not play down to the competition. And I know the Raiders haven't done much to go to the playoffs in recent years, so they shouldn't be looking down on anyone. I tweeted this. But this is a division game. You're going toward the playoffs one game at a time. Send a statement and win convincingly on your home field.
Yeah, that's what they need to do. And, Scott, you mentioned it a few times that you want to see them start getting a little win streak at home at Allegiant Stadium, kind of get a home field advantage. Mo, let me ask you this. Let me ask you about Max Crosby. I feel like he's really, really working his tail off. Picked up another sack last week. He's got 5 on the season. Do you continue to see him putting more tools in his tool belt and getting a little bit even better and more defined at the pass rush?
Yeah, what I want to see from Max Crosby is him kind of be his defender more one-on-one. He's got a lot of coverage sacks where I want to call those effort sacks where the quarterback holds the ball. And he's able to use his motor to get those takedowns. What I want to see him is to really get his guy one-on-one and kind of force offensive linemen to double team, because I know Raiders don't have that guy on the line right now that will force a double team or even a triple team as Khalil Mack once did. And I don't expect Max Crosby to be Khalil Mack. But if he's going to be the lead pass rusher on that defense, I just want to see him win more one-on-one matchups and add some pressure and much-needed pressure for the Raiders defense, because they absolutely need that lead guy right now to just kind of generate some pressure off the pocket.
All right, there you go. Mo Moten with dropping knowledge as usual. Have a good weekend, man. You guys under lockdown again, too, like we're about to?
Yeah, we're about to go on lockdown, probably starting Monday. Not too happy about it, but it is what it is at this point.
It is, man. Well, at least our governors and mayors can go out and have dinner. But we're
not going to even touch on that. I don't even want to get angry about that, because I want to go out and dine, wine and dine. Can't do that. So
yeah.
I'm taking it one day at a time, and hopefully it improves.
Well, we know you'll be working your tail off like the rest of us, so appreciate it, Mo. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
I appreciate you guys.
All right.
Yep.
There you go, Mo Moten. Good stuff.
Chilling. He's chilling.
He's chilling. Yeah.
What'd you call him, the Brooklyn Bomber?
No, the Baron of Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah. There you go. The Baron.
Baron of
Bomber.
Brooklyn.
It's the same.
Yeah, it's good. No, Baron.
I mean, it's flying. It's being in an airplane.
No, you're thinking of Baron Vaughn, what's-his-face, The Red Baron.
Isn't there a Baron that flies a plane?
Yeah, the Red Baron. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, see?
Baron
exactly.
Vaughn Brickenhouse.
So the Brooklyn Baron.
Right.
Or he could be the Brooklyn Bomber.
Or he could be the Brooklyn.
He could be an airplane bombing.
But there was also railroad barons. Like, they were the big money dudes that made all the money off the railroads back in the 1800s. Yeah.
I don't know. I was probably working on the railroad that day.
All right. We're taking a break. When we come back, we'll roll on with your phone call, 702-365-9200. Tell us what you think of the game against the Broncos, the Donkeys. How's it going to go down? You tell us. You're with Q and Scott here on Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio.
If you believe Tom Brady did fumble and that Franco Harris didn't catch that pass and call it the Immaculate Deception, then you found the right place. This is Silver and Black today on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
That's the Grateful Dead, Bobby? Close? Fish? All right. I got it. All right, we're back. Silver and Black today. Scott Gilbranson, your boy Q Myers, with us here talking Raiders football. Chilling. Mo has already, by the way, claimed stake to the Baron of Brooklyn. He's tweeted it out, so it's official.
Cool. I like that.
He's got it. He's working.
I mean, that sounds very Brooklyn-ish.
It does.
You know what I mean?
It sounds like a movie.
You don't really want to mess with that dude.
I think it's now going to be his it's going to be his autobiography.
The Baron of Brooklyn.
How I created an NFL
Brick City.
There you go. All right, we're going on the phones. Our good friend Ruben, who called in yesterday, but he was like in a dead spot, so he kept giving out on us. Ruben, you're back on with Scott and Q. What's going on, man?
Happy Friday, guys. Happy Friday. Yeah, sorry about that yesterday.
That's okay.
Really quick, I hated the Donkeys growing up because my neighbor, Michael Rios, back home in Central California, had big horse teeth
like John Elway. That's why I hated the Donkeys. And I hate the Niners because some of the family out in Central Cali, they're Niner fans. The other half were Raider fans. But then I got family in Texas, too, down in South Texas, McAllen, and they're all Cowboy fans. So those are the people, the teams that I really can't. It's all fun. It's all fun, but those are the teams I don't like.
We're at Central Cali.
Yes, sir. Corcoran. I'm from Corcoran.
Oh,
the town.
By the prison.
The town, not the prison. They got two big prisons there. I'm from the
town. It is. I've driven by it many times.
Every time I go up to Fresno, they're like, where are you from? I'm from Corcoran. Oh, you did time there? No, I'm from the town, not the prison.
Exactly.
But hope we beat them Donkeys, guys. Let's beat them Donkeys. I just got off work. I'm ready to go home. I'm going to pregame it with some Metallica, some Too Short, some, what's that guy's name? Mac, whatever. I'm ready.
Mac Dre?
I'm pumped up. Let's beat them Donkeys 45-10.
45-10.
That's a whooping.
Mac Dre, is that what he said?
I think he's talking about Mac Dre.
Yeah, Mac Dre, baby.
There you go.
There it is.
Ruben,
California.
Man, we love your energy, Ruben. Thanks for calling in, brother.
Have a good weekend, guys. And let's update those posters in front of Lotus, man. Let's put some Raider Nation Radio posters on in front of Lotus. I know you got them Golden Knight posters. We love the Knight. But let's get some Raider Nation Radio posters, baby.
You know what? I was told those were happening. But I'll find out. Good point, Ruben. We'll ask about that. We'll ask the suits.
Stalking the radio station.
We'll ask the suits up in management about that. All right. We'll talk to you later. Thanks, Ruben.
I respect that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Been stalking the radio station. That's what you're supposed to do.
He drives by. He knows where we're at.
Man, hey, look. He's got family in Corcoran, man. You better get it done.
Yeah.
Corcoran is where Jeffrey Dahmer was at.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I used to drive by. I lived in Fresno, and then I worked in Monterey, and there was a back road, and I used to always drive through Hanford and somewhere else, and Lemoore, and then through Corcoran to get to Monterey. It was like a shortcut.
I used to go through Hanford when I was when I lived in Fresno. I would drive up there, but then every once in a while, I would just take the train back home down to Southern California.
The train.
Yeah, because then you had to take the bus over the.
I'm so bitter about the train.
Ugh.
I'll tell you the horror story one day.
Okay, we'll do that. All right, well, we're going to get back to Raider football, and we're going to talk to our good friend, staff writer Nick Cuthrell from Silver and Black today. Nick, what's going on, man? How you doing on this Friday?
I'm chilling, as you would say.
That's all I'm saying, man.
That's right.
How you doing, guys?
I'm doing good, man. We look at this Raiders team and what's going on with them so far this season, and kind of how they've gotten to be 5-3, and some of that has had an effect too on where we think they're going. What's your assessment so far this team midseason, and overall, kind of how would you put it into a quick little short paragraph, if you would?
You know, I think there was a lot of optimism coming into the year, but to say that we saw the Raiders with a 5-3 record at this point, I think that would have been hyperbolic at that time. So realistically, especially with the injuries that they've been able to kind of hurdle over, I think this is exactly where you want to be, and you really can't ask for much more than what they've done so far.
Yeah,
and I agree 100% with what you're saying, especially with the injuries that the Raiders have had to overcome. Those are major, and those are very difficult to overcome. But isn't it realistic, and this was kind of where I was coming from before the season started, it's year three under John Gruden. He tore it down to rebuild it back up. Shouldn't the playoffs, or at least, you know, be competing for the playoffs, be reasonable expectations?
Yeah, I think that's exactly fair. I think they were to start the year. The only thing is, the Raiders kind of faced a murder's row to start the season. So I expected them to win some games and be competitive for a playoff spot, but I didn't see them coming away with a 5-3 record at the halfway point in the year. It definitely came a little earlier than I anticipated.
Yeah, no doubt. And Nick, we're looking at your story, and you gave out some kind of midseason awards, right? Which is good, because it kind of gives you a sense for where you're at. Midseason MVP, of course, you have Derek Carr there. Are you surprised how well he's done?
I am surprised. We all know he has this type of capability, as we've seen before. But, you know, there was just so many times where Derek was in the past, and he didn't have the supporting cast that he has now, but there was times where I think it was fair to question his ability and if the Raiders were going to move off him. But this season, I mean, he's shown that he can lead a team. He's put together a season this year that is even better than the season that he was fourth in the MVP race. So I think he has shown that he can be the guy moving forward, and it was something he really had to do this year.
How much of his performance and how much better he's played this year than past years has to do with him using his legs?
I think it's a huge part. When you look at the good quarterbacks in the league, and they don't have to be scramblers or guys right. who can rush the ball like a Lamar Jackson, but when you look at your Patrick Mahomes or your Aaron Rodgers, they can extend plays with their legs and capitalize it and throw deep off of escaping the pocket. And we've seen that from Derek a little more than we have in past years. But even as a scrambler, we've even seen that component come into play. And I think that's really been big on keeping momentum throughout drives.
And real quick, Nick, before we let you go, your midseason comeback player, I think, is one that Q and I talked a lot about and been really pleasantly surprised by, and that's Devontae Booker. Talk a little bit about what he's been able to do and what it means overall for this offense.
Man, he's contributed in a big way. Obviously, he's not going to have the amount of carries of like a featured back, but the Raiders really lack a guy behind Jacobs that, when Jacobs would come off the field, could still, you know, punch the defense in the mouth a little bit. And Booker has done exactly that. I mean, he's averaging over 6 yards per carry. And for your number two running back to do exactly that is something that I'd have to look at it, but I think very few teams have that behind their number one running back. So Booker's been huge to keep the momentum going on the ground.
Absolutely. Nick Cathrell there with silverandblacktoday.com. Make sure you follow his work up on the website. Nick, we'll talk to you soon, man. Have a great weekend.
You too, guys. Have a good one.
All right.
All right.
There you go. First hour in the books.
Chilling.
When we come back, we're going to be joined by Chris Matthews from 8 News Now. Of course, the host of the Raiders pregame live show every Sunday morning on Channel 8. We'll talk to him about the Broncos matchup coming up and what he thinks of this team at the midway point. We also want to hear what you guys think. A lot of high scores predictions, Q. I think if the Raiders are going to be successful, they got to really run the ball. So I'm not anticipating a 40-plus point, I think, output by the Raiders. I'm thinking maybe, you know, if they did score a lot of points, it'd be low 30s.
34-20. That's my prediction. 34-20.
See, 34 to me seems more realistic.
I'm a realistic dude.
There you go. Okay, we're up on the top of the hour break. When we come back, Chris Matthews will join us. We'll take your phone calls. We'll get the Q-tip in, and we'll talk to Michael Troiano as well in the second hour. You're with Scott Q here on Silver and Black Today on Radio Nation Radio.